Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to John chapter 8. We're beginning in verse 12. And this is God's word. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him, "Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one, but if I do judge, my decisions are right because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two men is valid. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his time had not yet come. Once more, Jesus said to them, "I am going away and you will look for me and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." This made the Jews ask, "Will he kill himself? Is that why he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" But he continued, "You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins." "Who are you?" they asked. "Just what I've been claiming all along," Jesus replied. "I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is reliable, and what I have heard from him, I tell the world." They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does." We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and now I'm here. I've not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. The Jews answered him, aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed? I am not possessed by a demon, said Jesus, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. I'm not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. I tell you the truth. If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. At this, the Jews exclaimed, now we know you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? Jesus replied, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You are not yet 50 years old, the Jews said to him. And you have seen Abraham? I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. Before Abraham was born, I am. At this, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
This is a passage with a lot of back and forth and a lot of changing terms. Whose father is your father? Whose children are you? Jesus talks about how on one level Abraham is their father. But he says, but you're not like your father Abraham. They get all worked up and they finally, after being upset that Jesus speaks of God as his father, they claim that God is their father. There's no attempt at consistency on their part. I don't know if you've ever been in a debate with somebody where they totally changed their position, and when you point out that they've completely changed their position, their response to you, and I've literally had this happen, is, well, I don't claim to be consistent. Oh, well, that's That's convenient. Okay? Now, Jesus has these folks really angry with him, and they might blame it on this or that or the other, but Jesus makes it clear what their real problem is. He's telling the truth. It's not that Jesus is lying. That's not what upsets them. They can accept lies. What they can't accept is the truth. Why is it so hard to accept the truth? Because they are slaves to the father of lies. That's what's going on. Well, those must have really been some bad people. No, this is the human condition apart from Christ. It's all of us. We're born in sin. We have a sin nature. We have a bent toward darkness. The truth convicts us of sin. If I get really honest before God, I have to start apologizing and asking for mercy. Have you ever thought you looked okay until the light got brighter? I've pretty much given up on white teeth. I mean, I'm blessed with good genes that cause my teeth to last and last and last and last. Seeing as how they're real, I'm old, so are they. And so they don't look bright and shiny. Now that I have all these white whiskers, there's a contrast. So I'm trying to convince myself that yellow is the new white. Now here's the thing. When Jesus comes on the scene, he makes these extremely religious leaders look dirty. Why? Because they are. They've got all these rules they follow. They're so careful, and they try and enforce these rules on everybody else and make sure everybody follows their rules, not just God's rules. They've got a whole lot more than God. And then Jesus walks on the scene. And suddenly, it's the difference between a dingy gray and a brilliant white. And they don't like that. And so they keep trying to poke holes in Jesus' righteousness, trying to find something that they can use to say, see, he's no good. But it doesn't work because he's perfect. Jesus, by his absolute perfection, shows all of us that we're not. All of us fall short of the glory of God. He doesn't. He perfectly displays the glory of God. He says and does only what the Father has shown him and told him. And boy, that's driving these people up a wall. It makes them so angry, they want to kill him. And they will. And Jesus knows it. But he keeps on doing what the Father told him and saying what the Father told him. So, as he is doing this, one of the things he exposes is not only that they are sinful, but that being sinful reveals that you are a slave to sin. Well, that seems a little extreme. I don't think you ought to say that. They respond, saying, we're nobody's slave. Do you remember the temptation in the garden? It was essentially to say, you don't have to do what God says, you can be your own boss. God just knows if you eat this fruit, you'll be like him. You can be your own boss. It's an absolute lie from the father of lies. When you disobey God, you're not becoming independent. You have just demonstrated your bondage to the father of lies. And so Jesus says that all of us in our natural state are slaves to sin. I will not. Why did I do that? Well, I guess we better just get used to it then. That's the way we are. Jesus says, no, I have come to set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Only Jesus, the eternal Son of God, can set you free. But it all goes back to this question then of who is this Jesus? What enables him to be the one who is not a slave, he's the Son, and he can set you free? How is that possible? Why can he do that? Nobody else can do that. The priests couldn't do it. The Pharisees, with all their rules, couldn't do it. Why can Jesus set you free? Because he is the Son. Because he is the Son. So they get into this protracted argument with Jesus, and Jesus tells them something that is not popular in our culture. It wasn't popular then either. But it's not popular in our culture, and that is, not everybody is God's child. Jesus said to these opponents of his, you belong to your father, the devil. And you want to do his will, not God's will. You call God your father, but you're not his children. Because you choose to believe lies and reject the truth. You can't even hear the truth. So, as they're talking, the subject of Abraham comes up. They say, you think you're greater than Abraham? He says, actually, Abraham was happy about my coming. You're not even 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? See, they're still looking at it in terms of Jesus putting himself on a level with Abraham. How dare he? How absurd. That's insane. He's putting himself on a level with Abraham. Jesus says, no. I'm not putting myself on a level with Abraham. Abraham was excited about me. Okay. I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was, I am. Now, when he said that, they picked up stones. They wanted to kill him. Why? Because he had just used God's name and applied it to himself. If we were looking at this in terms of grammar, we would say that Jesus misspoke. Okay? If he wanted to claim to be pre-existent before Abraham was, the way to say that is, before Abraham was, I was. Jesus didn't say that. Because he wasn't just talking about time. He was talking about who he is. When Moses had asked God, what is your name? Who shall I tell the people of Israel sent me? God responded, tell them, I am sent you. I am. And that became the ineffable name of God, the name so sacred that the Jews would not speak it. The scriptures repeatedly in the Old Testament put in Lord instead of Yahweh. And Jesus then shows up on the scene and he is Yahweh. How does John begin his gospel? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, the Word that became flesh is standing before these religious people, and they want to kill him. Because the natural state of the human heart is at enmity against God. It is hostile toward God. And Jesus says, I came to set the sinner free. You're a slave of sin until the Son sets you free. But the reason he can set you free is because of who he is. You can't get free on your own. You can't get free by doing this, doing this, doing this. You can't pay the debt that it would take to get you out of that chain. But Jesus paid the debt. Jesus came so that you could be not just free, as Mr. Andrew prayed, of the penalty of sin, but so that through the Holy Spirit, you can have the power to overcome sin. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, consider yourself dead to sin and alive to Christ. We need to start believing what God says about us. Those who are trusting in Jesus Christ are not slaves to sin any longer. We were, but we're not now. So are you saying you never sin? No, I'm saying when I sin, it's not because I had no choice. It's not because I couldn't stop it. That's a lie. Don't believe the father of lies. The way that he will try to keep you trapped is to tell you, you don't have a choice. You can't change. You're stuck. That's just the way it is. Just accept it. This is you, okay? He may even tell you, you're mine. Are you? Or have you come to Jesus and said, God, have mercy on me. Please forgive me. Save me. If you cry out to him for salvation, he saves. He not only forgives, but he gives you the power to say no to sin. So why do I still sin? Old habits are difficult to overcome, but not impossible. Have you ever said out loud the thought that was in your head, I just can't change? It's a lie. It's from the father of lies. He's telling you, you cannot change. But you can. Not in your own strength, but in his strength. You can say no to sin and yes to Jesus. The Bible tells us, I'm going to say something that the Bible doesn't tell us, because I'm going to take it out of context, and then I'm going to correct it. Just heads up. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. No. It doesn't say that. I thought sure it did. I saw that on a plaque. Well, look in the Bible. What does it say? It says, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You try and do it on your own? It's stupid. Don't try and pick a fight with the devil. He'll crush you. But if you submit yourself to God, you say, okay, God, I cannot fix me, but I want you. Please save me, cleanse me, change me, fill me. Then he gives you the power to resist the devil, and the devil has to flee. From me? No, from him. From him. The devil will flee from him. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. God living in you gives you the power to walk in the freedom of the children of God. You can do what is right. Now only Jesus, the eternal Son of God, can set you free. But if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That's what I want for you. It's not bondage. It's freedom. It's not a bunch of rules. It's the power to do what God wants you to do. And it starts with surrendering to him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.